All right. Welcome again to Course in Miracles. And, okay, there we go. So, we get to use a power. You have this option to use this power, of course, for whatever you want. And what you want to use this power for happens to be the world. And it's fascinating, the world. It's fun. It's interesting. It has the hopes and promises of more return, of happiness, of payback, even love. This world, your body, time, space, it holds out fascination for your mind, and you have made this. So, as the Course says, you love what you made. For sure, it's natural that you would do that. It's natural that you would do that. Now, you have, as we say, overinvested in what you've made. It's where you find yourself now. You've overinvested in your own story, your own movie. And so I'm going to keep muting people who make noise. I'm not trying to insult you at all, but I'm just going to keep muting you when you come up. So this is a constant challenge for A Course in Miracles, for you doing A Course in Miracles, is to make a choice on your waking up, or make a choice on your getting present, meaning getting out of time, or make a choice on your moving your priorities away from the world and your body, or making a choice on what is actually most important to you. You see, the world as you've made it will constantly grab your attention. It will decide seemingly what's most important to you by the matter of the day. And just like any drug, if you're taking it and you get some pleasure from it, you will harden a bit on it and you'll need more in order to get the same pleasure. Make no mistake, you know, my opinion, this dream has become addictive. The idea that if we just try harder or just get a little luckier, you're so close, you say. And the only reason you haven't made it is maybe because you haven't tried hard enough. So it's up to you. You try harder so you can be happier and healthier and wealthier and wiser and have a better life. You try harder, says the ego. You, the you that you have grown up to be, now that you are a capable adult, some point you passed that bridge and you took some responsibility for your life in a body. Ego says you try harder in order to achieve happiness, joy, love, freedom. Course in Miracles says, you're a drug user. You're completely lost. You're absolutely drowning in the idea that you are a body. He says, I'm here to tell you, you're not a body. And this whole idea that you could be bound and lose anything at any time is absurd. In your true nature, you're completely free because of what you are, as I see you, says the author of this book, who's reaching into the dream to talk to you. And you are reaching back by reading the book. you are reaching back by coming to this meeting. You are reaching back by saying, this Course in Miracles thing, I want to do this. I want to follow this. I want this awakening. You are reaching back to the hand that is reaching out to you. It's one way to say this. What is most important to you? How would you approach your next problem? Would you approach it asleep? Like before you found A Course in Miracles, where you try not to lose more. That means you might defend yourself. You might attack the source of the problem. And you feel it's proper to be driven by anger or worry, fear in some form. It's the way the addiction works. And it does make for great gameplay if you understood this was a game that you are playing. You still play it. It's just you wouldn't play it with this dirty guilt and fear that just kind of ruins it. So you have a choice to make. And it's just about with every thought that you can have. And we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at the alternative. We're going to try to expose the alternative self the Course talks about. The alternative voice that you have access to. We're going to try to look at that and touch it, describe it, feel it a bit. Before we get started, let's take a few minutes to rededicate why we're here, to rededicate what it is you personally can see as your next step, in your personal freedom. Not something you memorized from the book. It might be, okay, but just make it honest. I'm not going to ask you what it is. If you put it in words, you might lose it. So just take these next 5 minutes. Believe me, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, but get honest, because this is you reaching out back. You reaching back to A Course in Miracles. You reaching out for the next step in your own personal path, your own personal spiritual awakening. So take these next 5 minutes and just be very honest with yourself and try to see what your next step might be for your personal freedom. What would you let go of? What would you forgive about what you do? What would you now release? What would you forgive? What would you let go of that you now do that would give you just a bit more freedom, more peace every day? What is your next choice for freedom? For your own freedom. I hope you feel a little more devotion to yourself after that. I hope you feel a little more self-love. That you do plan to be attentive to your own happiness. The world was designed to be a place of loss and chaos, with a few treats along the way. I hope you have chosen to bring more joy and peace into your life with your own devotion to your own awakening. And your own awakening will happen with your choice the next time something goes wrong. And something is about to go wrong in your life. It's coming. You know it. So please, it's not only you who you help all of us. When you choose to use your mind for the higher path for light, you're not alone in the effects of your thoughts. You are not alone in the effects of your seeing. We cannot share your fears. We can share your awakening. Your fears are something that drive you to be alone and separate. It's part of the trick. But your awakening drives you to reunite. That you can share. Do it for you. Do it for me. Do it for all facets of the mind. And bring your joy a little higher tomorrow. When whenever goes inconvenient tomorrow, the alarm doesn't go off, or you ran out of milk, got to skip breakfast, whatever it is, choose light and lightness of being. That is enough. Just don't follow the ego into darkness. Try it. You'll like it. Before we jump in, does anybody want to share their next step, their next choice for freedom in their life? Luann, I got your mute. Go ahead.
This is a perfect meditation for me because it fits in right where the lesson I'm working on, which is lesson 10. And what I came up with is I want to forgive myself for judging so often. Judging myself and judging others.
Good. Good. Don't hang on to it. When you forgive yourself, you show yourself the meaninglessness of the judgment.
Yep.
It's not a cop-out. But do it honestly, though. Don't forgive yourself to feel good. Forgive yourself because the judgment was meaningless. Yes? There's a difference there. No, one is a spiritual ego, and the other one is a choice for freedom.
I hadn't thought of the first one until you mentioned it.
Bust your ego, Luann. Yeah. Ego just wants to skid by another day and be able to judge and get away with it.
Yeah, lesson 10 is saying you don't get away with that one, and you don't get away with that one, and you can't get away with that one. I probably should do it. I even set my alarm to say, go off every hour and 20 minutes.
Atta girl. Excellent.
So I could get 5 of them done today.
That really works for me. I'm busting my ego through the day with whatever the lesson is. I'm very, very grateful that the course is so specific in saying, do this once an hour. Or say, you get the most benefit today by doing this about 10 times an hour. What? 10 times an hour? That's every 6 minutes.
There's one. It does say something like that.
Not until lesson 15 or so. So you're off the hook until then.
Yeah, I've got a plan for that day to be nothing else to do but sit there and wait for the 5 minutes to go up to come up.
No, you want to do your regular day and run into trouble and have the course rescue you.
Okay.
Just to have your timer, though. Have your timer clipped to your purse or whatever you're doing.
By the way, I lost the timer I got from you. I guess in my
That's good for business. Why don't you just order another one and we'll just go from there.
That's what I was going to ask you if I could do.
Don, you had your hand up. Do you remember what you...
I put my hand up way at the beginning of the meeting. It's just clear to me that fear really runs my program. And even my pursuit of this of spirituality is driven by fear, you know, and I guess not competitiveness, not so much with other people, but some sort of stupid idea of, I don't know.
When you say fear, Don,
yeah,
teach us a little bit. When you say fear, can you describe what you mean by that? You'd say you're driven by fear. What do you mean?
Fear of consequences of the past.
Okay.
Fear that whatever spiritual path I've been on, that I haven't approached it in a way that was truly spiritual. It was ego-driven, highly ego-driven, and there's no way back.
Therefore, it is a fear of what happening?
The dominoes continue to fall in terms of the appearance of things in my life and my relationships and what happens to the people around me. Fear of my wife dying and I'm left with not having, as part of my motivation, and particularly when I started Kriya Yoga, was that if I transform, my whole family would transform. So even that was kind of like, my ego is going to accomplish something.
So fear of your stories coming true.
Yeah.
And it sounds like each of these stories has something in common. A loss. A sad expectation.
Yeah.
There would be a sad day coming.
Seems like.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Reasonable. Because you've described it perfectly as one of your own buttons. That their sadness would come. And then your depression would be justified. If your wife died. Or if you did all this work in Kriya Yoga and it backfired. Or you should have been doing something else. And you could have been freer.
Well, even worse, is no matter what I do, there I am.
Aha. No matter what you do, you're still going to have the same fear generation going on and therefore the same justification for loss. And it'll just be sad, sad, sad. That's pretty reasonable. Only because you're going to live your thoughts.
Right, and not having, and seemingly the slope is so steep that I'll read a lesson, and it's like almost a lesson during the day. I keep proving that I'm a miserable wretch. You know, that I'm judgmental. That I'm
yes,
all the negative stuff.
Yes, good, good. So I assume that's why you're studying A Course in Miracles, because it goes counter to what you're describing.
Well, in fact, it seems like A Course in Miracles just tells me I'm fucked up.
You definitely got that right. Everybody, do you agree? A Course in Miracles is telling you are effed up. And I think that's helpful. All these other spiritual programs say you're perfect just the way you are. I can't go with that. The me who went to the meeting fighting my tears because I had to break up with a girlfriend or something, you know, or she broke up with me, is not perfect the way I am. Miserable. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Well, something that helped me, somebody else who's, you know, a student shared the perspective that, because I was feeling really bad, you know, I do my meditation, we do the classes, and I let go of grievances here and there, and then, you know, I go into the world for a few moments, and all of a sudden, I'm triggered. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm just grievance. I feel like that's all I am, is grievance. And a person, and I was feeling bad, then I started feeling bad. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm a miserable wretch. Like, but I, what that person shared was really that is the ego. That is my ego. That is not who I am. I am observing, you know, it seems like I'm the one having the grievance, but it's actually my ego. And it just that tiny bit of separation of thought about that has helped me to not beat myself up, because I'm working on the grievances and they're there. I'm just amazed how, you know, like I said, I feel like one big grievance sometimes. So,
girl. And, that tiny bit you said.
Yeah, just that little separation.
Tell us about that tiny bit.
Well, if I start feeling guilty because I just got triggered, that thought comes, oh, this is my ego. This is not who I am. And I am wanting to awaken and really, you know, awaken more and more and feel or know who I am. But just, I know that that's, it's like just knowing that, so it just gave me that separation. So,
do you guys remember Descartes? You know, you studied this all through school, and Descartes says, I think, therefore I am.
That's Rene Descartes.
Rene Descartes, mathematician from long ago. He says, I think, therefore I am. You know, I thought about that. I thought, you know, that's pretty, could get some traction on that, right? He's trying to find out that he exists at all. Does he really exist? Well, he thinks, kind of proof that he exists, he thinks. Jacqueline is describing her own self witnessing herself. This is a very critical moment in one's, now she can see herself. See, this is a big deal. This is a, it takes a miracle to do this. A little spiritual awakening occurs when you witness yourself. When you witness yourself, this is, let me open that up a little more. That's why I asked her to talk about that little, she said it perfectly. She said it perfectly because she described it as a little separation from that that disastrous ego fixated self, small s self, that is a wretch, is miserable, is doing the same bad practice and bad thinking once again. But she looked at it. You see what I mean? She stood aside from it. She got what the Course calls above the battlefield for a moment. What the Course also describes is you must get out of, how is it phrased? You must step out of essentially the wrong thinking for a moment to see that it's wrong thinking. And in another place it says that the proper, because this is a quote, the proper use, the only proper use of separation is to separate yourself from your ego. That's why she said it perfectly. She is using the idea of separation, separating herself from a false dream.
So this is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is when you're feeling, in my case, guilty or wishing I weren't making judgments, but when Don feels like he might be doing something that's going to bring on havoc in his family or his life, then I have to look and say, it's not me doing that, it's my ego doing that.
That's absolutely correct. You have to recognize that that is your ego that does the judgments, and as Jacqueline said, she is not her ego. Honestly, like these words mean something. at some point when you say them and you own them, like she is owning them and you, Luann, have owned these. You've crossed that bridge a few times where you go, whoa, you know, that's just my stinking thinking, my habitual judgmental ego that I have chosen to abandon. It's sticking around a bit. The habit's still there. When I'm not paying attention, it speaks up and it actually causes problems in my relationships. Nonetheless, I am working on abandoning my ego, you say. I hope you say. Jacqueline.
Well, in the guilt about being triggered was just almost, you know, it felt at times, Mom's, oh, I'm just going to give up. It's impossible. I felt an impossibility.
Ah.
So that little separation, you know, brought back a sense of, oh, it's okay. You know, I can go forward. Just take the steps. It just gave me a sense of, no, I won't, you know, I don't need to fail, I guess. I can, you know, have a different perspective. I can help ask the Holy Spirit, you know, it just took away the hopelessness because that guilt just felt made me feel hopeless.
Hopeless. Yes. Yes, the hopelessness, the drowning, the clouds of darkness. And you said, I don't need to fail.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Where my thought went when we first started the meditation was, the thing I need to give up is to believe that as I put myself out in this world, not my true self's world, but in this world that we're believing, but it's a dream. I think I'm important.
Important, yeah.
I thought that was the thing. That way, my judgments that were important were real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They go together, and it's just makes me feel awful just to even think that way.
So, would anybody else like to talk about their next step in their freedom? Some pretty good things were said right there that are really on our target. You got something for us, Tim?
Same thing that you've been talking about. It's the meditation puts a space between my usual thinking and then the ability to sort of look at myself from a bit of a distance. Almost like a character on a stage. I know Ross has described this a lot of times when he talks to. And I sort of see the world as a test. It's a tar baby. It's a sticky trap. It's a honeypot.
Yep.
It's, you know, oh, look at this. You know, not going that direction. Been there, done that. How about this? You've not tried that yet. Nah, you know what? More of the same. It's true. I don't remember doing that. But what about this third thing? And so you just have to laugh. You just have to kind of sit back and look at it and just go, uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And with that comes this huge weight off.
The weight is off. Talk about that. Talk about that moment of feeling the shift. The weight is off.
Well, all the energy comes back into your life. Enthusiasm for being alive.
Wow.
The sense of being hopeful that, you know, I am connected directly to God and to all my brothers.
That sounds pretty significant.
Wonderful. Okay, and so a million pounds come off, and with the pounds all coming off, come off the years and you know, the illness, or if it's there, it doesn't drive you.
Your being just becomes lighter.
Right. There's somebody wrote a book called The Unbearable Being of Lightness. Is that how?
Lightness of Being.
Lightness of Being.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the sensation that occurs.
Everybody turn. This is for Dawn and for Tim and for everybody who's been describing this. Turn into your workbook to start with page 214 in the workbook. Real quick, we're just going to visit this page because I wanted to address what Don said directly with a quote from the Course. Don was describing to us earlier this constant fear that he's not worthy and that he's doing a poor job. And then Jacqueline jumped in and said, I know what you mean. I felt wretched. Wretched. And Tim jumped in too, and he said, you know, it's a rat hole, and you start chasing the darkness, and down you go. And then it just feels dark and heavy. Yeah. But there is another way. It's what we're studying. And you have that ability to release yourself from that weightiness. And that's how you prove this stuff works. Because as Luann was describing, you know, she can let go of even these things, ugly habits as she has. And then everybody was describing a little lightness of being, a holy instant shows up. This proves to you that what you're touching on with A Course in Miracles works to lighten you, to bring you joy so you can afford to be happy even in a dream. I just want you to look at lesson 121 on page 214. The title is Forgiveness is the Key to Happiness. Quick, somebody tell me, what is forgiveness? Can you say this in a sentence or two? Somebody? Anybody? Ross?
So the way I like to say it these days is I forgive my brother for what she did not do.
Well, Ross is very woke as well.
What are your personal pronouns, Ross?
He's pronoun sensitive. He's woke and awakening. Anybody else want to jump in on what your current definition of forgiveness is with A Course in Miracles? Kenny, what do you got? Hang on a second. I'll get your mute. You stay right there. You look comfortable. Go ahead.
It's not thinking. Forgiveness is not thinking.
You found your problem, and it's your thinking.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Deborah, just can you say what is forgiveness?
It didn't really happen.
All right. Cecilia, are you there?
Hi.
Would you just tell us, if somebody asks you, what is A Course in Miracles forgiveness, what is it?
I think forgiveness is just understanding and having the knowledge or intuition that we're one.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and we're always in the present. And so forgiveness is letting go.
Uh-huh.
Letting go.
Uh-huh.
And embracing the other as, you know, just like I forgive myself.
Yeah.
I let go
uh-huh.
of others, you know, whatever it is, whether it's my own judgment or somebody else's judgment. I just let it go, and it's really being fully in the present.
That's
and being a loving presence. Yeah.
It's all the right direction. Forgiving yourself, releasing, letting go. I loved all of that. David, would you unmute yourself and tell us, what is A Course in Miracles forgiveness? Do you have that down to a sentence or so?
It's what I do.
Okay.
It's looking at things with absolutely no judgment. And then it kind of doesn't exist anymore. You do it right.
And then it disappears.
Yeah, it just disappears.
That sounds like
no desire for it no more.
That sounds like it's the right direction.
Yeah, it's fun.
Say that again, David.
What's that?
Say that again.
I'll tell you. He says it's what he does because he looks at things with his right mind, and then they disappear. All right, Jacqueline, what's forgiveness?
Forgiveness is understanding there's nothing to forgive. And the understanding is key, of course. It has to be a true in the moment.
It has to be true. You know, it can't be memorized. It can't be something you're trying to do. Everybody, bust yourself if you're trying to forgive. You're not following your Course in Miracles. If it's an effort, if you're trying, you may be following Course in Miracles from an academic perspective and you're on your way, but you're not free yet, obviously. It really, when forgiveness is honest, it is so freeing. Tell us, Tim.
Miracle-minded forgiveness is only correction. One sentence.
It's a simple correction. Luann, tell us.
Recognizing that we have no situation. In a way.
Yeah, I can't hear her either.
Let's see. Is this better?
Somewhat.
Yeah, if you lean into your microphone, I'm sure it'll be better. And then when we get after the meeting, I'll take over your computer and I'll turn your volume up for you. I could do that with Zoom, by the way. I can take over your computer if you let me. You have to press OK, but it's a great feature.
I would like you to do it.
Yeah, we'll do that after the meeting, and then I'll show you where those controls are. You can see my mouse move and everything.
Okay. Well, am I close enough now?
That's better.
It's better.
Okay. How about that?
That's better yet.
Okay. I'm almost on the screen.
Yeah. Yell at us without sounding angry.
Forgiveness for me is recognizing that my neighbor, any of them, are as I am, a child of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, the word oneness means we're together in this.
Yeah. Nobody said the same thing, right?
That's right.
You know, so you see how much work this, how, why this book is so big and why there are lessons and it just doesn't have forgiveness and a couple of sentences of miracle principle. Jesus knew that it had to be approached at each level of the staircase. Forgiveness has an advancing effect on your consciousness the more you learn that that word actually is the key to happiness. And not the forgiveness that you started out with last year, the forgiveness you have this year, and this won't be good enough for the forgiveness next year. It's brilliant. Same with the miracle. You get more and more understanding. This is the most amazing teaching. This book will walk with you as you awaken. It's just fantastic. But I hope that's kind of a demonstration for everybody that you're not alone, that these concepts will continue to improve as you do. As you do. Don.
Okay, this isn't directly answering your question. It's actually a query into my own process that doesn't work. So it seems to me that in general, I'm better at forgiving strangers and people with whom I am not really seemingly in a ongoing relationship with. I'm not so good with my, particularly, honestly, with my wife and son.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Because, Don,
that makes me feel like shit.
You're in the right book. The author of this book knows that that will be the difficult situations. Even comes up, that this book comes up with a certain label.
Special relationship.
Special relationships.
Okay.
Special because they got their hands wrapped right around your heart. And then a little jiggle.
Yeah, I'm so pissed off about it.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect. It's designed that way, and you are living proof that it's working as designed perfectly.
Thank you very much. I hope I'm a good fucking example.
You are a good example of how effed up
I'm helping people.
Following the ego is. No mistake, Don. No mistake. It's not a mistake. You are not a mistake. the sensitivities you're having are shared by all. Everybody has walked through this sensitivity with their people who are supposed to love them that don't behave that way like you would prescribe. And then sometimes you're supposed to be the one who's loving and you didn't feel like it. Now you're the SOB. Special relationships work perfectly for that. Now, look at 121. Forgiveness is the key to happy. You're in the right book, Don. The book will take you step by step through awakening from the nightmare you just described perfectly that everybody here is living.
You
got the right book. Yeah, yeah. Lesson 121, forgiveness is the key to happiness. This is really a great lesson. We're not going to read it tonight. We have a different focus, but because Don mentioned it, I would just like to have you, have you turn to the last page of that lesson and look at the italics. After you read through this powerful 13 paragraphs, and it's got a high level of teaching in there, but this, you know what? Jesus says, bottom line today, what I want you to do is I want you to devote yourself to your own awakening. I'm giving you permission, he says. How does he do it? He says, look, say this along. Every hour, every 60 minutes, tell yourself this. Forgiveness is the key to happiness. I will awaken from the dream that I am mortal, fallible, effed up, and full of sin, and know I am the perfect Son of God. Now that would take a miracle, wouldn't it?
Yep.
He knows that you think you're mortal, you think you're fallible, you think you're effed up, and you think you're effing up other people's lives, and you think you are full of sin for it. That's why it's written on this page, surrounded by beautiful words. And that's why I say, sir, you have the exact right book. Work it. Let it work you. You work it back. It's a beautiful circle. And the way is up toward the light if you do it. Good.
You've got a little smile on your face. And I don't know what it's about, but I do know that when I read this lesson, I've studied it a lot, it's almost completely underlined, but it makes me feel like I don't have to worry because I'm not all of that.
That's right.
I think that's where the lightness comes
from. It's printed. You know, it's a very, very, very loving message. This whole book is, in one way to describe A Course in Miracles, is a love letter to yourself.
Luann, say that. Say what you said again.
What I said is, this book for me.
Oh, the book, not this quote.
Well, this quote for me, if you want to get down to brass tacks, but the book is going to get me to where I believe this quote. This quote for me is such a relief. That's what, when I read something that I feel like is a change of understanding or a change of heart or whatever you want to call it, I feel such relief that Tim may have been talking about, because I know that no matter how I am as a human, I'm not that human. I'm a child of God.
There's the promise right there in black and white. It should bring you a great sense of relief, if even only for a moment during your hourly meditation, when you say, forgiveness is the key to happiness. I will awaken from the dream that I am mortal, fallible, and full of sin, and know that I am the perfect Son of God.
It makes me want to cry.
Yeah, it should. The truth is spoken, and you are invited to take it on as your truth. It is your own will that is coming true right before you, if you open your mind to it. Absolutely, Luann.
And think about it, Don. All the stuff you've been describing that worry you about yourself will be gone. if you truly believe this little paragraph.
Even if only for a moment. This is the key to a holy instant, by the way. We're on a little side conversation here. But it's been mentioned by a few people, and Jacqueline lately has been mentioning it to us very specifically. She even said tiny, right? Just a brief moment of separation from her ego occurred right in the middle of some stinking thinking. This brief moment, these holy instances, the leverage you get from those moments is stronger than hours of ego debating. In fact, it lasts a lifetime. These few glimpses of light that you get that are the holy instant, these awakenings that occur, you never lose them. You can't, because your awakening is a one-way trip. You can deny it. You can not pursue it, but you can't delete it. So that's why I love that this book stretches it out for 365 days. Give you a chance to repeat and repeat and repeat these little glimpses, like what Luann was just showing us. She says she hears it. She hears the promise that she is the perfect child of God and there's nothing to worry about. I hope you felt that when she said it. Because she allows herself to fall into that simplicity and beauty of mind that is the truth. And a little light enters. And it cannot go away. And it counters lifetimes of darkness. So, no kidding. I mean, it just, you go up the staircase one step at a time. Each step is higher and you don't lose the sight that you got from it. So good. Okay, let's jump into tonight's reading. If somebody's dying to talk more on that, their own next step. Go to page 456, paragraph 2. And let's have Jesus talk to us about this choice that's up to you, this gift that you can give yourself that will come in instances. This is the quality of the awakening. It's you're so surrounded by inputs for sleeping and for separation, so constantly surrounded by it. Page 456, 456 in the text. You're so surrounded by the world and all these different flavors and methods that when the awakenings come, they are not hours usually. They're not days usually. They're not even full minutes. They're instances. That's why I love what Jacqueline was describing so honestly. But man, if your stomach is knotted up and your head is going around and around in circles and for a moment you relax, that stands out. The lessons are designed to stop your cycle of ego thinking, if even for a moment. That's why I like the timer. That's why I suggest that you do not set aside a special day to do your lesson. You just do your normal day, but use the timer to catch your ego. And it's much more powerful that way, so you can bust your ego and know what it is you're putting down. Know what it is it's holding you back. Know what it is that is blocking the awareness of love's present every minute. Hold your finger here. Turn to page 552. It's only 100 pages to the right. This book is so consistent. I want you to read another paragraph on this topic that just shows that this is what we're supposed to do to get out of the darkness.
452?
552, 552, paragraph 13. And Tim, I'll get your mute. When you get there, would you read for us the entire paragraph 13? You know what? Yeah, see, was that okay? Yeah. You know what? The whole paragraph.
You 13. Got it. Each day and every minute in each day and every instant that each minute holds, you but relive the single instant when the time of terror took the place of love. And so you die each day to live again until you cross the gap between the past and present, which is not a gap at all. Such is each life, a seeming interval from birth to death and on to life again, a repetition of an instant gone by long ago that cannot be relived. And all of time is but the mad belief that what is over is still here and now.
Metaphysics of A Course in Miracles. Such is each life, a seeming interval from birth to death and on to life again. Each day, beginning of the paragraph now, each day and every minute in each day and every instant that each minute holds, you but relive the single instant when the time of terror took the place of love. You've made a substitution. Jesus is calling it out. And now he's asking you to resubstitute the truth. He's asking you now to call on lightness when you feel dark, like Tim described. You just stop and allow, in your willingness to be present, allow the lightness of being to happen. And the darkness loses all of its power. Let's go look at more how to do that. Turn back to 456, where we just were. Hopefully your finger is there. And let's read that paragraph too. Kenny, you feel like reading?
No, thank you.
All right then. Jason, are you there? Okay, Don, looks like you're up to bat. Don, would you read for us paragraph 2 on 456?
Yeah. Reality needs no cooperation from you to be itself, but your awareness of it needs your help because it is your choice. Mm-hmm. Listen to what the ego says and see what it directs you see, and it is sure that you will see yourself as tiny, vulnerable, and afraid.
And effed up.
And effed up. You will experience depression, a sense of worthlessness, and feelings of impermanence and unreality. You will believe that you are helpless prey to forces far beyond your own control and far more powerful than you. And you will think the world you made directs your destiny. For this will be your faith. But never believe, because it is your faith, it makes reality.
You gotta love a teacher who's able to speak for you so clearly.
Yeah, absolutely.
He says, are you depressed? I can diagnose your depression. And he says, he just diagnosed your depression. He says, if you listen to what your ego says, what is the ego, right? Think about that for a moment. When the Course says ego, it is the thought system of separation, of you being an individual separated being, you versus everything else, not you connected to the oneness, extending life. That's not ego. That's spirit. Ego says you've been pinched off and you're floating, struggling to eke out an existence of meaning by yourself. You see? The idea of being alone is the whole problem.
You know, something I like, I heard a teacher say this. They call the ego a thought system of ideas that's a cult. That's pretty cool, because that automatically tells me it's totally specious.
You bet. It's only it. Uh-oh. Am I locked up or is everybody locked up?
No, you're good. You're locked up. Oh, you're not now to me.
It was you. We found the problem, Don. It was you. Like the course says.
Ego loves that.
Okay, let's pick up the next paragraph. Luann, are you ready? I got your mute. Read for us paragraph 3.
Another vision. Is that
like, now you sound great.
Well, I turned something on that was off. I was searching for all of that time. I finally got it. There is another vision and another voice in which your freedom lies, waiting but your choice. And if you place your faith in them, you will perceive another self in you. This other self sees miracles as natural. They are simple and as natural to it as breathing to the body. They are the obvious response to calls for help, the only one it makes. Miracles seem unnatural to the ego because it does not allow how separate minds can influence each other. Nor could they do so. But minds cannot be separate. So that said that. That miracles, and thus it recognizes that miracles do not affect another's mind, only its own. You always change your mind. There is no other mind. There is no other mind.
But minds cannot be separate. This other self is perfectly aware that minds cannot be separate, and thus it recognizes that miracles do not affect another's mind, only its own. They always change your mind.
And
forgiveness is always a change of your mind. Salvation is a change of your mind. The atonement is a change of your... Do you see the pattern?
That's confusing to me.
Well, let me ask you this. When you think of something, who is it the most likely to come along to answer or work with you about that?
The ego will come first and loud. Any question you ask ever... At this level, your ego will be the first voice you hear and the loudest voice. It's by design of your system, of what you think you are and how you're existing. The Holy Spirit is a still, small voice that comes when you go quiet and then you get a sense of truth. It isn't usually words even.
But I wanted to ask you a question about that, Andrew. It is unbelievable how many times, almost all the time, that I said, I really need to call my daughter. And she's my closest special relationship. And within usually 10 to 15 minutes, she calls me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered how that mind is, that relation. I feel like we're reading each other's minds.
Yep, minds are connected, Luann.
I thought, okay.
And there are certain relationships and certain people, actually, who have more or less access to the universality of mind, just like radio waves. Mm-hmm. I've heard too many stories now of really synchronistic events where minds are obviously connected, either when it in a high state of need, or because, as the Course describes in the back of the book, the title of the section is, Are Psychic Powers Real?
You know, you remember I was estranged from my brother for a while. And working with you, I've been able to let go of the idea that we were so different and et cetera, et cetera. And within the last year, we've come back together. And I keep thinking, it's, the only reason that happened is probably because Daryl knew I was wanting it, or on some level, so did he.
And the barriers drop. We're not alone in the effects of our seeing. Mm-hmm. Good, Luann.
Completely estranged for 3 or 4 years up till then.
I hope that gives you a bunch of encouragement that everything can change to joy and to your understanding, and you're allowing for presence of mind can bring joy.
And want it.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Good.
There's a, seems like the two sentences are saying opposite things.
Okay.
So, sentence six. Mm-hmm. Miracles seem unnatural to the ego because it does not understand how separate minds can influence each other.
Yeah.
Then, down here it says, the spirit is perfectly aware of this, and thus it recognizes that miracles do not affect another's mind, only its own. I must be just, it seems like a opposite.
Yeah, you know, it's making a fine point, and I've made a note in the margin that it's not worth chasing around in circles. Okay. Go back to your basic understanding that minds are connected,
okay,
and miracles are not holy. Miracles are corrections of errors. So that's some of the fishing that we would discover if we went around and around on this. Minds are connected in truth. They're not connected in error.
Okay.
So no need. You can just scratch those sentences out. There's no need to go around and around on those particular sentences.
I kind of get it now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to articulate, but I get it.
Good.
There's a phrase, I don't know that it's ACIM, but we can be many things for other people, teachers, guides, you can point. But the one thing we can't be for another's mind is its understanding. It's enlightenment. You can't be that for somebody else. That has to come from inside themselves.
They have to come to understand it.
They have to come that, right. So minds are shared for sure, you know, in reality. And it's also true that we can't be somebody else's enlightenment for them. Both are, they seem opposite, yet both are true at the same time.
Yeah.
For me, that's the basis of saying, when I see somebody doing something, I don't understand why they're doing it. I say, but they're on their own path, knowing they are one with us as Christ.
Yeah.
It's a very personal journey, the awakening mind. It also is a gift that comes with your existence, that you have a mind to awaken. Nobody going to do it for you.
If somebody else could do it for you, then Jesus would have dropped a bliss bomb on everybody.
Bliss bomb.
We wouldn't be having the conversation. We'd all be happy. I mean, you know.
Right. And the Course says that were that possible, it would take from you the very gift of God.
Yeah.
Will never happen. Good.
So I think it's free choice. Is that not correct? The gift of God.
And to extend free choice, and also that you are responsible for your own thoughts and creations, the extension of love. You are not a victim to anything, including love. You are the source of love, and you have somehow cleverly blocked that. This is the gift of God, to recognize that you are the very love that you seek. The gift of God is that you are God's joy. And you do it by being the verb. God is dead without you as God's own life. Therefore, the gift of God is God itself. Yeah. It's a wonderful circle. Let's read four. And Deborah, are you ready? I got your mute.
Yes. You do not realize the whole extent to which the idea of separation has interfered with reason. Reason lies in the other self you have cut off from your awareness. And nothing you have allowed to stay in your awareness is capable of reason. How can the segment of the mind devoid of reason understand what reason is, or grasp the information it would give? All sorts of questions may arise in it, but if the basic question stems from reason, it will not ask it. Like all that stems from reason, the basic question is obvious, simple, and remains unasked. But think not reason could not answer it.
Whoa. What is it trying to say? Okay, so now we've come to the crux. Look at the title of this section. It's called The Function of Reason. And reason, roughly identified, is right thinking, which would counter directly wrong thinking, or thinking of fear and loss and ego. So, top of the sentence, paragraph 4. You do not realize the whole extent to which the idea of separation has interfered with basic fundamental right thinking. In fact, elsewhere in the book, you'll recall this strange sentence. It says that when you're not thinking with God, you're not thinking at all. So Course in Miracles has an understanding of thinking that your ego is not aware. Your ego can engage in false thinking or dreaming that is actually nothing. It doesn't go anywhere. Like drawing a cartoon. And the cartoon is two-dimensional. It has no life of its own. It's really quite shallow. And yet you can invest emotions and everything else in it if you wish. This is how Jesus sees, how the Holy Spirit sees your important little life in a body. And it's how also you will see it. Doesn't mean you throw it out. Doesn't mean you don't have wonderful things to cherish about this life. But it fundamentally must change. This would be right thinking, or the ability to now transcend the world, the body, space, and time. It's enlightenment. It is transcending the essential drunk belief that there is truth in separation, that you could actually be alone. Pretty heavy stuff, huh? Of course, that's what we're working on. So look, let me do it again. You do not realize the whole extent to which the idea of separation, the idea, it's just an idea, right? It's an idea you've invested your being in. This idea of separation, you use the power of God, the power of creation, to follow an idea called separation. So he says, you do not realize the whole extent to which the idea of separation has interfered with reason. Reason lies in the other self. Already illustrating what Jacqueline was describing when she said, you know, I was able to separate myself from my stinking thinking self for just a moment and it felt great. And Tim said it too. There is another self. This is an important note to take in that very sentence, right? Reason lies in the other self that you have cut off from your awareness, period. Oh, what happened? Why am I on a spiritual path at all if I am as God created me and I'm perfectly loving? If I am the love, if I'm created from love and I am love and everything is perfect just the way it is, why am I even seeking at all? Ross?
That's a good question. We're standing in a river with a glass in our hand going, where's the water? Where's the water?
Yes, and it's very, very, we're very, very thirsty. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? So this is important because you might have, you have to ask yourself, what the beep is really going on here? Am I love or not? Is God loving or not? Is God all powerful or not? These kind of things you should be bringing yourself to sobriety with every once in a while. And then turn back to your Course in Miracles and say, okay, Jesus, answer this. And then you get a sentence like this. Paragraph 4, sentence 2, explains what's happening. Reason lies in the other self that you've cut off from your own awareness. Well, I'm really glad the book doesn't end right there. I don't know about you guys, but he's diagnosed the problem with confidence, saying, I found the problem. You have cut yourself off from your own awareness of basic reason. I'm glad the book does not end there and say, well, go wait for another channeling and I'll give you the answer. No, the book continues. First, he hits the nail a few more times with the hammer. And nothing you have allowed to stay in your awareness is capable of reason, period. Oh my God, the problem's worse than I thought. Not only have I blocked myself from right thinking, from love, from heaven, from awareness of God and oneness, not only have I managed to cut off my awareness of it, but I've taken nothing with me into the separation where my name is Andrew. I've taken nothing with me that's capable of right thinking. Hey, folks, this is starting to get dark quickly. You are going to need a miracle. This is the whole point. You will have to have a shift, not a slight modification, but a shift in your mind in order to have the awakening back to reason. But that's what we're talking about. Number 4. How can the segment of the mind devoid of reason understand what reason is or grasp the information it would give? That's the ego. It's the whole job of the thought system of the ego. Number 5. All sorts of questions may arise in the ego to what is strictly called Andrew. But if the basic question stems from reason, it will not ask. And maybe you've heard this from Buddhism, you know, and Zen. There's a quote in Zen that was, ask and ask. And then when the moment you have no questions, honestly, no questions, your enlightenment has come. But boy, can the spiritual ego lie to you about that. Like all that stems from reason, the basic question is obvious, simple, and remains unasked. The basic question is obvious, simple, and remains unasked. But think not that reason could not answer it. And that's what I want you to be digging at when you do the Course in Miracles, the basic unasked question. And since we're out of time, I'm going to do the horrible thing I just told you, that I'm glad the book isn't over with that other sentence, but we're out of time. So you have to wait till next week, but I'll feed you with this piece. The basic question that remains unasked by your ego, by your spiritual ego, by your being that says that it's so loving and yet falls out of love with the first problem that occurs. Where is love? Where is love? And if oneness is true, like the book says all over the place, it's very reasonable that if God is love and I am from God, then I must have access to love now. I hope that question is burning in your head all the time. It is the light that will guide you. And if you meditate with it, you will find it. If you become present, you will find it. And hopefully that's what's brought you to those sweet moments of meditation along your spiritual path. When you recognize, oh my God, when I finally do settle down and become really present, it's beautiful. I hope everybody here has experienced that. It's the simplest thing you could possibly do is to do nothing, really do nothing, and soak in that wonderful simplicity. Do that after this Zoom call, just for a few seconds. Just call yourself to a present moment. In fact, why don't we do that with our last 2 minutes? Let's just call ourselves to the present moment and do absolutely nothing. Let's just do nothing and soak up the presence of your life and your being right now. Welcome home to the present moment. All that is real is here. Not in the future, not in the past, but right here now. This is where love is. This is where life is. And when you die, it will be a moment just like this, when you step through the door to freedom. If your mind wants to be free, it is free. Try being free right now. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. We have much work to do next week in this fundamental metaphysical Course in Miracles discussion. Again. Good, good.
David and Kenny for coming. I've been missing you.
I know. Absolutely. Good to see you, David. Good to see you, Kenny. Miss you guys. Good, good, good.
Jacqueline, keep on keeping on. You are so close. Let me just give you encouragement. I just, every time I listen to you talk, I'm going, ooh, she's homing in.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You can feel it.
So feel good about yourself.
I'm committed. I'm committed.
Good, good, good.
I trust. Well, thank you, Andrew, and so wonderful to be here with all of you.
Thank you, Jeff.
And thank you, Dawn, for continuing to bring your honesty and your quest. You are teaching this with us and to us.
Yeah, thank you, Dawn.
Moment by moment.
Yeah, thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Okay,
Luann. Good night, everybody.